You can get an outline when you came in. There are some extras on the stand in the back. If you'd like to follow along. We'll talk about joy this evening. The opening text of Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And then he repeats it again. I say rejoice. Seem like people have said happiness or joy or gladness. It's desired by lots of people. That's what I want, is want to be happy. But yet, very few people find when we use the phrase real joy. Happiness is termed life's most elusive goal. And we try to pursue it and sometimes we can't find it. We have an idea of what it'll take to make us happy. I hear people say, and I've said it myself, well, I'll be happy when. And we're just putting it off for a little bit later, or when this takes place, or this happens, or when this is over, that's when I'll be happy. Boy, we can be happy now. We've heard also the statement, money can't buy happiness, but Dennis Burchett just always says, well, just give me the money. I'll do my own shopping. I think I know where I can buy happiness. Yep. I know you can buy joy and cheer in the detergent aisle at the grocery store. But God wants us happy. Scriptures abound with words such as happy, joy, blessed, or blessed. Gladness. God's made provision for us to have all of those things. Joy. There can even be joy in the midst of conflict. And that's one of the verses at the top with James. Chapter 1, verse 2, he says, count it all joy. Another translation says, trials, struggles. Wow. I wonder what's so joyful about trials. Usually when I'm going through a struggle or a trial, I'm kind of searching, where's the joy? But verse 3 answers the question we're asking. He says, knowing this, the trying of your faith works patience. So I may not see the joy in the struggle at the moment, but maybe when it's over, I can think, boy, if that ever happens again, I don't know what to do. Temptations are not to be, and struggles and trials are not to be viewed as opportunities to sin, but rather they're opportunities to overcome and strengthen character, and that produces joy. I've gained something from that. Patience. Now, typically when we're working and busy with tasks, it's when the work is finished that we have the greatest joy. I have some joy when I'm involved in the task, you know, busy. But I'm always get a greater joy in that good, warm, fuzzy feeling when it's done. Finished. Produces joy. Enjoy the rest. Enjoy the fruit of the labor. So joy. So the message is, in the introduction, joy is a byproduct. Joy is a consequence. It's the result of a completed task or a relationship. You should rejoice that someone put a clock on the back wall for me. Somebody did something and look what happens. I look at that, you know. Try to abide by it. Think about your work day. Well, that road home from work is a greater joy than the road going to work. Maybe for some of us. Some of us might like that road to work. But you seek joy and you won't find it. Because it's a result. It's a consequence. Hebrews 12 verse 11 says, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present. Now, I don't want to be in trouble. I'm going through a struggle or a hardship. Where's the joy? But then it says, nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So this lesson deals with happiness from above. Happiness that God provides. Now I've given you a list of things we're going to look at kind of briefly of where joy is the consequence. And when these things are in place, There's a reason or an occasion to rejoice. In John 6, verse 66, some of these verses I'm going to mention don't have your, not in your notes, but in John 6, verse 60, beginning verse 66, it says, from that time many of his, meaning Jesus, his disciples went back and walked with him no more. And Jesus said to the 12, do you also go away? Simon Peter answered, said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we've come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. The occasion for rejoicing, the soul of man, the spiritual side, is happiest when it's in favor with God. There's a joy, the Bible speaks about unspeakable, a peace that passes understanding. And it's based upon the spiritual side of life in our lesson tonight. Psalm 51, verse 11. I did put that one in your notes, but here's the whole verse. It says, let those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because, here's that byproduct, that consequence, because you defend them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in you. For you, Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor you will compass him as with a shield. So when certain things are in place, there's an occasion for you and me to find the rejoicing. In Psalm 28, verse 7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts him. I am helped. Therefore, because God is our strength, because he's our shield, because we put our trust in him, therefore my heart greatly rejoices. See that consequence of a certain situation. And with my song, the verse continues, I will praise him. So here's, I just listed six things we just kind of note in our lesson this evening. Number one, Psalm 21, verse 1. In your salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice. Right? When you have the salvation, oh, thank you, boy. Puts a smile on our face. Thank you. Rejoice in the Lord. Salvation, when we have that. Oh, Psalm 35, verse 9. My soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. When we have salvation, we smile. Psalm 51, verse 12. David said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. That right relationship with God. When that's in our hand or in our life, rejoice. Psalm 132, verse 9. Let your saints shout for joy when we're on God's side. When we're his children, his saints, there's an occasion to shout for joy. Romans 5, verse 11. Said, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Oh, remember that good relationship? It's an occasion of joy. So I put salvation, there's always an occasion of joy. Always. In Luke 15, verse 10, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. So we have an occasion to make heaven rejoice. When we do what we're supposed to do, the consequence is heaven rejoices. In Luke 15, verse 32, when the prodigal came home, father said, it was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again. He was physically alive, but spiritually dead, away from the father. He was lost and is found, but oh, he's come. It's meet to make merry and be glad. Why? Because the prodigal has come home. The occasion for joy. So, but to the unsaved, not experienced the joy of salvation, they don't have a cause to rejoice, not in the Lord. They may rejoice because of what the world is offering, rejoice in that, but it's not that eternal joy that's our lesson this evening. So that person will say, oh, that was fun. Got a lot of joy out of that activity. Yeah. But it's just a worldly joy. We want an eternal joy. Number two, I'm just going to look, just read the verse in its entirety. Verses 3 through 9 of 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm just going to even just listen, because I just kind of put a few highlights from the verse in your notes. But here's the verse, and I'll go on to number 3. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning of verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to His abundant mercy, and here's the occasions for joy, that listing that Peter gives. According to His abundant mercy, He's begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Verse 4. And then he adds another blessing. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Occasion for rejoicing. He continues. He just piles up the list of why we should rejoice. Verse 5, talking about us, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation. In verse 6, in this, you greatly rejoice. Right? See, when certain things are in place, oh, smile, rejoice. In verse 8, though now you do not see Him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. In the verse 9, he speaks about the salvation of our souls. Wow. So, another, again, occasion to rejoice. We believe what God has promised. Ah, thank you. Rejoice. Number 3 is in Luke 10, verse 20. Rejoice because, here's that byproduct, that consequence, an occasion for rejoicing, because your names are written in heaven. Oh, yeah. Oh, thank you. And I've mentioned many times, we go out of our way in life to have our names written somewhere. I think. You know, some people give great sums of money to have their names on buildings, hospital wings, and things like that. When I was a boy, fresh cement. rallied the guys from the neighborhood. Where fresh cement's being poured. Let's go write our names after the workers leave and put our names in there. And if you thought you were going to get in trouble, you'd write your friend's name. In the cement. Bless you. I'll put my name. We carve our initials in tree as youngster, or chalk on the sidewalk. Want our name in the honor roll at school? I never got my name on the honor roll. The closest I ever got to honor was yes, your honor, no, your honor. But now we have an occasion to rejoice because our names are written in heaven. Rejoice. Number 4. Romans 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Well, just our coming together, our relationship with one another, being in the kingdom, in the church, the body of Christ, occasion to rejoice. And that should be part of our character. It should be our attitude, our emotion. We have that righteousness and peace and joy. Joy, just being in the kingdom, in the church, produces joy. Then number of rejoicing in hope. Our hope, again, is built upon the promises of God. And Titus 1 verse 2 says, God cannot lie. So I rejoice in hope. It's those things that are not seen. So we sing songs like 538. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Yeah. Number 558 says, there stands a rock on shores of time. Yeah. Rears its head to heaven sublime. Joy. Rejoice in hope, our expectation of heaven. Number 6, last one, Matthew 25, verse 23. Well done, good and faithful servant. When that's in place, when we've done well, enter into the joy of your Lord. So having experienced the joy of Christian living, there remains for us that eternal joy that's reserved, as Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, that's reserved in heaven for you and for me. Undefiled, doesn't fade. Oh, yeah. So we sing songs about heaven. Psalm 126, verse 5, that they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. So, yeah, the struggles, yeah, where's the joy? When it yields its intended purpose. So joy, I mentioned, is like a byproduct, a consequence. You can try to pursue joy, but you can't find it. But you pursue these other endeavors, these relationships, these attitudes of life. Oh, that gives us joy. Gives us joy. Jesus said in John 10, verse 10, I came that you might have life. Have it abundantly. Well, he's given us physical life, but then that spiritual life. I came that you could be born again. The life everlasting. That's what we want. Oh, joy. Oh, joy. So that's the lesson. Just to give you some thoughts or think about it. You can add to the list. This certainly doesn't exhaust it in any way. But certainly, when you think about your salvation, your belief or faith, your name's written in heaven, we're in the kingdom, we have hope, and we have expectation of heaven. Oh, there's a sense of peace and joy in knowing those things. So we're going to sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation, a song of exhortation. You need to respond in a public way, and or you need one, if that your desire to be baptized for remission of sins like this evening, or you want to just ask brethren for strength or encouragement or share something. We have that opportunity. So let's stand together. We'll sing the song that Dennis has selected.